Well, good morning, everyone. Merry Christmas. I feel like we've already had such a great Christmas celebration. I feel totally filled up. What great worship we've had this morning. I love having the kids up here, and I love the song they sang as they marched off the stage. You know, have yourself a merry little Christmas. Not a really spiritual song, but love the song anyway, especially when it's sung by James Taylor or Jerome Madigan, either one. But and it's funny, you know, you think about that song, and what that song does is really it kind of presents to us, I think, a particular vision of Christmas. And the vision of Christmas that that song presents to us is one of a very sort of tight-knit, close group of people that are near and dear to us, gathered around us, as the song says. And I think, let's be honest, I mean, that's the kind of Christmas that we really all long to have. We long to have people around us that are near and dear to us. People we love, people we know, people we care deeply about, family, friends, and so on. But did you know that the real story of Christmas is actually quite different from that? Did you notice the words that the angels spoke to the shepherds? Let me repeat them for you. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for who? For all the people. For all the people. So what that's telling us is that the good news is not just for a few of the people. It's not just for a select group of people. It's for all the people. And it's not just for those who are near and dear to us, who we gather around us in our family rooms. No, it's quite possibly for those who are far and foreign from us. People that we might not even want into our home. So I want to talk about that today. Think of it this way. That song, Have Yourself a Merry Little Christmas, we might want to call it instead, Have Yourself an Inclusive Little Christmas. I know that's a politically charged word, and I don't mean it that way, but that's the vision of Christmas I want to talk about. It's kind of like this. It's like taking a camera and zooming in on one tight-knit group of people. That's Have Yourself a Merry Little Christmas. But I want to kind of zoom out this morning. I want to look at the wide-angle lens of Christmas, okay? I want to have yourself an inclusive little Christmas. And to do that, I want us to look at the first chapter of the Gospel of John, okay? So we have Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. So in the New Testament, this is the fourth Gospel, and let me just read the first 14 verses, and you can follow along with me on the screen. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and through him the world was made. The world did not recognize him, though. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, children not born of natural descent, nor of human decision, or a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. And we have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. Now, I don't know if you noticed that, but as I read through those words, did you notice the references to all and to everyone? Over and over, verse 3, through him all things were made. That includes all people. All people everywhere. Through him all things were made. Verse 4, the light was the light of all mankind. Okay? Verse 7, he came as a witness, this is John, to testify concerning that light so that through him all might believe. There it is again. Verse 9, the true light that gives life to who? Everyone was coming into the world. And then verse 12, to all who did receive him. To those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become the children of God. So there is this inclusive perspective, and I want to zoom out, and I want us to look at this wide angle of Christmas and see what does it mean for us to believe in an inclusive Savior? What does it mean for us to be inclusive followers of Christ? And one thing we see here in John 1 is that Christ is the light that shines on everyone. Now, John started out and he was talking about the Word. And if you've never read this passage before, you're probably wondering, well, what does that mean? Who is the Word? But if you go down to verse 14, which we also read, John tells us, he said, the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. So that Word, that eternal Logos, that Word actually is the person of Jesus Christ, whose birth we celebrate at Christmas. He's talking about Jesus. So everything that is said about the Word in the first three verses of that chapter is talking about Jesus. Jesus was in the beginning. Remember the first three words of the Bible? In the beginning, God. Jesus was in the beginning. Jesus was with God, and he was God. And all things came into being through Jesus. And then notice verse 4. John says, in him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. There's that inclusive, wide-angle perspective. Jesus is the light of all mankind. Now understand, John, who wrote this gospel, was a Jewish man. And part of what John meant by this is, listen, this light came into the world not just for us Jews, not just for God's chosen people. No, he came into the world for all mankind. He came into the world for the Gentiles, which is most of us as well. So he came to bring life and light, not just to people of Western civilization, but also those from the Near East and the Far East, not just for a certain race of people, but for all races, not just for a certain gender of people, but for both genders. Then look at verse 9, because he says it again in a different way. He says, the true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. So somehow this light brings light to everyone. Now think about that. That's an incredibly astounding claim. In some way, somehow, every human being that has ever lived has been exposed to that light. That's what it's saying. Does that mean that Jesus and his light is shining on Buddhists and Hindus and Muslims and atheists? If it's true, in what sense is he shining on them? It's interesting. In the original language here, it's in the present tense, which means that this is an ongoing process. So he shines and he keeps on shining. And he's shining even today on all mankind. Again, I don't think I understand exactly all that that means. But I read a story this week, and I think this is part of what it means. It's about an Anglican priest named Father Tunde in Africa. Father Tunde says, I was raised in a very strong Muslim family, and I had never really heard the name of Jesus. But this is how I came to know him. I had a dream in which Jesus appeared to me, and he was holding a lit candle shining bright, and he brought me into this room, and in this room there were all these candles that were not yet lit, and Jesus said, you must take my light, and you must light all these other candles. And Father Tunde says that was his first step on his journey into a relationship with Christ. He, like many other Muslims today, had other dreams about Jesus, and eventually he came to trust in Jesus as his Savior. By the way, he was then disowned by his family, kicked out of his house as a young man, and treated as dead. But Father Tunde continued to follow Christ. And there's an example where nobody came and actually shared the gospel with him, but somehow the light of Christ was shining on him and he responded. Christ is the light that shines on everyone. Here's another way the light shines on all people, all mankind. Did you know the Christian faith has made more changes on earth for the good of humanity than any other movement in the history of our planet? I know that people in the name of Christ have done some evil things. We all know that. But let's talk for a moment about the light that has shined from Christians throughout the centuries. Consider this. Christianity has been a major force for the establishment of hospitals. I did some research this week and I discovered that hospitals were really invented by Christians. And the care for the sick was something that has been spearheaded by Christ-following people. That's his light shining on all mankind. Universities. Universities were started in the Middle Ages by Christians. Some of the finest universities in the world were started by Christians. Christians were on the forefront of the movement to abolish slavery and to elevate the status of women. The Christian faith has been the inspiration for some of the greatest works of art and music in the history of mankind. Rembrandt, Bach, Mozart, Beethoven. All inspired by this Christmas story. In these ways, the light of Christ has shined on everyone. And one of the things we know about light is that it shines the brightest, it makes the biggest difference in dark places. And that's what John says here in verse 5. He says, the light shines in the darkness. And that word shine is a very strong, powerful word. You could translate it, the light is shining on even now in the darkness. And the darkness did not overcome it. Christmas can be a time when we experience darkness. It can be a time when many of the dark and broken areas of our life sort of come to the surface and they're exposed, you know. Could be darkness in your own heart, darkness in your family, difficult relationships, the darkness of grief and loss as we remember those who we'd love to have with us and they're no longer here. And so if you're in that place tonight, or today, I should say, feels like Christmas Eve, doesn't it? I don't know. It feels like nighttime, but it's not. Sorry. But if you're in that place today, I mean, maybe just this little scrap from John 1 is for you. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness did not overcome it. Maybe it's a time for you just to pray that very simple prayer. Lord, would your light come and shine in the darkness that I'm experiencing right now in my life? Whether it's in my personal life, in my family's life, maybe in my career, some area. Lord, I invite you in to be the light that shines in me. And I believe that your light will overcome the darkness within me. As the light shines on everyone, one of the things he does is he offers grace. He offers grace to everyone. And that's a really good thing because when you think about it, one of the things that light does is it reveals that which has been kept hidden, doesn't it? It reveals that which has been secret. So the light shines in those areas of our life that are broken, areas that perhaps we stay hidden, that are secret, that we're ashamed of. But John says in verse 14, he said, listen, we have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. Yes, the light of his truth shines on us. And oftentimes what we see is not good. He shines truth on us and we see falsehood. We see filth. We see sin in our lives. But his light also shines grace. Grace means God's unmerited, unearned favor. Grace is God welcoming each and every one of us into a relationship with himself that is not based on our being good enough, but based on his incredible generosity and love for us. Grace means forgiveness. Grace means what we call redemption, that he actually purchased us through the blood of his own dear son, Jesus. You know, in 2005, the lead singer of U2, Bono, did an interview where someone asked him questions about his own faith. And he said, you know what, there are two ways to live. He said, you can live by karma or you can live by grace. Karma, he said, means what goes around comes around. You get what you deserve. But then Bono went on to say that there's another concept that completely upends this concept of karma, and that is the Christian concept of grace. Grace means we get gifts we don't deserve. Listen to what Bono said. I'm glad that at the end of the day, karma is not going to be my final judge. I've done some stuff that I'm ashamed of, and I've failed in a lot of ways, and I failed to love God, and I failed to love my neighbor, but in the end, I'm not going to be judged by karma. I'm going to be judged by a God of grace. I'm banking all my hope on the fact that Jesus carried my sins on the cross, and I'm going to be judged by his grace. Now, not everyone who has this light shining on them responds in this way. The light shines on everyone. And actually what happens is that light sort of divides humanity into two different categories. John speaks about those here. Verse 11, he says, he came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. This is one of the most tragic verses in all the Bible. John is saying, listen, he came to his own people, the Jewish people, of whom Jesus was one. He came to his own people. They had all the promises, all the prophecies leading up to the coming of the Messiah. He came to his own people, and of all people, they should have known. But they rejected him. And so one way to respond to this light is to say, I don't want it. I don't need it. I can do this on my own. There's a lot of people who live life that way. Let's pull up your bootstraps. You earn your way. And that's the way it is. See, even though Jesus is radically inclusive, you must respond personally to him to enjoy the benefits of his grace fully. You must say yes to both grace and truth. The truth that you are broken, sinful, and distant from God. The truth that you need a Savior. And the grace that he'll bestow on you the blessings of forgiveness and redemption. So the right way to respond to this grace is spelled out starting in verse 12. John says, yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, children not born of natural descent, nor of human decision, nor of a husband's will, but born of God. Notice all those nots. Not of natural descent, not of human decision, not of a husband's will, but born of God. And what's he saying? He's saying nothing human beings can do can bring this about. Nothing human beings can do, nothing you can do can make you right with God. It's something you have to receive as a gift. Yet all who did receive him, to them he gave the right to be children of God. So we all come to him in the same way we receive. It's like tonight, maybe tomorrow morning, you're going to open gifts. You're going to receive gifts. And you know, let me just say, the whole thing about, you know, Santa only giving gifts to boys and girls who are nice and not naughty is really a massive hoax, okay? I'm not saying there's no Santa, okay? Don't worry. I'm not saying that. But that whole thing that he only gives his gifts to children who are nice and not naughty is a hoax made up by parents trying to get their kids to shape up. Let's face it, right? That's what it is. The gift of God is for nice and naughty people, okay? It's free. It's grace that is offered to us. And if you're trying to somehow earn your way to God, to make yourself good enough, to clean yourself up so that God will accept you. You're trying to do enough good works that in the end, the good will outweigh the bad on the scales of justice. You are going about it the wrong way. You just receive this gift as a gift of grace. And you say, yes, I receive it. I receive what you're offering to me. And once you've received this gift, let me just say that there's something that you are called to do. And it's also in this chapter that I read. In verses 6 through 8, we learn about a guy named John the Baptist. It says he came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. So here's John the Baptist. You kind of think, what is John the Baptist doing in the Christmas story? I mean, I don't see him in any of our nativity sets, right? He's like the relative that just won't leave after Christmas, right? What's John doing here? Well, John is a witness to the light. And John is like us. John is inviting us to be a witness to the light as well. This is how God wants to get the message of this light out, right? John was called of God to share that message, and so are we. And so you're here today, and you're a follower of Christ, perhaps. And you have received that light and that truth into your life. And each and every one of us have a calling, a responsibility, wherever God has placed us, in our neighborhood, in our workplace. We are called to be a witness to that light. You don't have to be weird. We have too many weird Christians. Just be yourself. If you know a weird Christian, introduce him to me and I want to set him straight, okay? But just be yourself and you're just a witness to the light. What does a witness do? A witness just tells what he knows. He tells what he sees. I mean, you go in a court of law, you're a witness. You only get to tell what you know, what you see. You just tell the story. You're not making anything up. You're an eyewitness. You've experienced it. Okay, and you just tell your story. This is how this light has impacted my life. And that's the call each and every one of us have. Heard a fun story this week about Charles Schulz, you know, the creator of A Charlie Brown's Christmas, which of course gets shown on television, right? Every year about this time. And we all love it. But apparently originally when he wanted to do this thing, none of the networks wanted to do it, basically. And finally one agreed and he got to work and he put together this little film. And we all know the most memorable part of A Charlie Brown's Christmas is when good old Linus comes out, right? He comes out, and what does he do? He reads from Luke, the Christmas story. And it's wonderful, isn't it? Did you know that originally, not one network wanted to show that part? They said, we can't do that. That's not going to go over very well at all. You know what Charles Schulz said? He said this, if not us, then who's going to do it? If not us, then who's going to do it? And so today, as we think about John chapter 1, as we think about Christmas, you know, I want you to have a merry little Christmas. You know, I hope that you have the joy of gathering with people that you love at Christmas time that are near and dear to you. I hope that you have that. But I also hope that each and every one of us will commit ourselves to being a witness to that light. And that we will say, if not me, then who? And you got people in your life, and I have people in my life. And I would say to you about them, if not you, then who? And perhaps you have been given that light, and you have received that light specifically so you can share with them the light and the hope of Christmas. Let's pray together. Dear Father, we thank you so much for your grace and for your mercy as shown through the person of Jesus. Thank you that he came for all people. Thank you that his light continues to shine on all humanity. And Father, we want to participate in that. We want to partner with you in shining this light throughout the world. We love you so much and thank you so much for loving us. And we pray that we would be able to bless others throughout this Christmas season with the light that shines in the darkness. In your name we pray. Amen.